The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from KHUH LP 104.9 FM Seattle, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Welcome to the Thunderbolt for December 6th, 2019. This week, I reestablish contact with a childhood friend. We point out how much Donald Trump sucks, except when he doesn't. We reveal perfidy at the Southern Poverty Law Center, of all places. We expose how our president is dog-whistling his armed acolytes to action, and we entreat listeners to support the Pacifica Radio Network, as they are experiencing serious problems. Fasten your seatbelts, because here we go! So as you may or may not know, depending upon how long you've been a thunderbolter, I personally consider marijuana to be a basic necessity for my creative endeavors, as well as for my own overall mental health. And I consider my mental health, if not my creative endeavors, to be just as important, if not even more important, than my physical health. Therefore, when a recent budget crisis manifested in my life, I decided to do the fiscally responsible thing and purchase what is known in marijuana circles as shake, meaning the leaves and the trimmings that people cut off the buds so that the buds are pure bud. And shake is, of course, significantly cheaper than buds, and for good reason. But since smoking shake produces largely the same effect, even if it takes a little more, and even if shake tastes kind of nasty, dollar for dollar, Shake is probably a much better deal from a pure economic standpoint, which, as mentioned, was a concern for me at that time. But the thing about smoking Shake rather than Bud is that you have to smoke Shake rather than Bud. Yeah, I know. Wah, wah, wah. I have borne heavier crosses in my time, so it's not any big deal or anything. I seriously doubt that I will require any counseling, at least over that. But the thing is that I went and purchased some rolling papers because I prefer smoking Shake in joints rather than in pipes. And when I purchased my rolling papers, I realized that very same zigzag man was on the cover of the very same rolling papers that I had been purchasing since my clandestine teenage days, when my friends and I were running around campus hiding from the campus cop in order to smoke our pot. And not only that, but back in the day, the zigzag man was quite the celebrity. People used to wear t-shirts and display posters of the zigzag man as a not-so-subtle sign to the world that they were potheads. Yes, when I was a kid, the zigzag man was totally cool. While he isn't as popular now as he once was, it is comforting to know that the zigzag man has survived the vicissitudes of the last half century and is still tripping out potheads across the land. You know...
What's that? Haven't you ever heard beer being brewed before?
Yet another one of the numerous, endless, outrageously insane things that suck so much about Donald Trump is the fact that all everyone ever talks about anymore...
That was kind of light and happy,
sir. Listen to this.
...is how much he sucks. And it is to the point now wherein I am totally sick of hearing people talking about how much Donald Trump sucks. Yes, Donald Trump sucks. Most people either already get that, or they're probably incapable of getting it.
Choices hops, rice, and best barley malt being blended to make beer.
And even as the left keeps criticizing him, they also keep underestimating him.
Trump staggers in the house. His wife.
Sure am I.
For instance, having everyone constantly harping about how much the rump sucks is distracting everyone from the seriously effed up shite that is going on that no one is talking about.
The cold golden beer being poured right down the middle of the glass.
Because all they're talking about is how much the rump sucks.
That's the only sad note in the whole number. Means all the beer's gone. Better get another case right away.
I am convinced that is, in fact, the rump's actual job. He is the distractor in chief. Watch this hand. Don't watch that hand. And people keep pondering the, quote, reason that the rump won the election, when actually there was any one of over a dozen things that I can think of that, had any single one of those dozen things not been so, then the election would almost certainly have gone the other way. Even the claims that Mrs. Clinton lost because she is a woman are likely true. And I would maintain that there was no single reason why the womp won, but that there were dozens of reasons that all added up in the end. Consider.
Hey, you know what this fella told me? He told me once you make it with a robot chick, that's it. You don't never want nothing else. I swear to God, that's what he told me.
The rump spoke directly against NAFTA. The Democrats not only were the ones who passed NAFTA, but they seemed truly clueless when it came to how much NAFTA sucked for working people and how hated NAFTA was amongst the ranks of the working people. And another thing is the fact that the duly accomplished liar always tells the truth whenever possible. And the rump keeps attacking all of the right targets with all of the right facts, even if for all the wrong reasons. The media machine is indeed a lapdog of the elites. The FBI and the CIA are indeed utterly corrupt tools of the deep state. The deep state is indeed the central clearinghouse for global nastiness. But the thing about the rump trashing all of these institutions, though, is that he is not doing it because he wants them to start doing their frigging jobs. He is doing it because he considers them to be competition. And thus, he wants to seriously marginalize them, if not outright destroy them. And I'm quite sure that the rump would be just fine with the media machine and with the FBI and with the CIA and with the deep state if they were all working for his interests. And yet another factor that the rump cashed in on during the last election and that the Democrats totally missed and still seem to be missing is that the rump directly addressed the huge anti-war sentiment of the general public. Yes, he specifically criticized the endless interventionist wars, however insincerely, and he spoke directly to a huge segment of the public on that issue alone. And depending upon where you're talking about intervening, I suspect that the rump's distaste for interventionist wars is not altogether insincere. And yet another thing about the rump is that this whole impeachment theater charade is likely to pull the pants off a bunch of thoroughly corrupt Republicans. And not a few Democrats. And that is why the Republicans are so forcefully circling their wagons. The impeachment thing also seems to represent a rift within the deep state, i.e. the bankster machine versus the real estate machine. And the anti-rump bankster factions may win out in the end, as they usually do. But again, the rump is calling all of that out for just what it indeed is, and all of his acolytes can indeed see that. Even the rump's cries over the lack of due process have a ring of truth to them. In other ways, though, the rump is playing right into their hands. Partly thanks to him, the deep state has now managed to convince nearly everyone, except rump fanatics, that anyone who talks about the deep state is a crazy conspiracy theorist. And now they've managed to associate all of those crazy conspiracy theorists with the rump and with the nutcase right wing. Therefore, anyone who talks about the actual conspiracies that are actually going on can now be even more easily discredited. And one more thing in that vein, I hereby predict that Rudy Giuliani is going to be indicted, and that he is then going to turn snitch on the rump. And that's when things are gonna get fun. So I recently spent 2 weeks pointedly ignoring the national news. And when I tuned in again, it was very comforting to learn that absolutely nothing had changed in my absence. Not the latest passion play soap opera meant to distract you from what's actually going on are impeachment proceedings against the rump. Huh. Do they honestly think that the rump's minions would ever allow them to get away with that? Do they honestly think the Senate is going to follow up on that? Do they honestly think that this country would be better off with a President Pence? And as to their argument that they need to impeach the rump to protect the integrity of the Constitution, that argument would hold more water if the Democrats did not themselves stand ever ready to sell the Constitution down the river anytime that it becomes politically inexpedient for them. Anyway, it turns out that whilst Joe Biden was vice president, his son Hunter Biden was kicked out of the military for cocaine use. But don't worry, Hunter landed on his feet with a $600,000 job as a consultant to a Ukrainian oil company. Now, this was rather amazing, since Hunter Biden had absolutely no expertise of any kind concerning either the Ukraine or of oil companies. So Hunter Biden must be an exceedingly talented young man. However, the Ukrainian Attorney General decided that this was a corrupt arrangement, and he opened an investigation, whereupon Joe Biden threatened to withhold American aid to the Ukraine if this prosecutor was not fired. whereupon the AG was indeed fired. But to be fair to Joe Biden, this AG was reportedly indeed a corrupt partisan hack himself. But that is beside the point.
Understand what it is that makes me tick. But you wish you did. You always second guess. Wonder if I say yes. But you just lose out every time. If you only knew what I talked about when I'm with my friends, just hanging out. Then you have the inside scoop on what to say, what to do. That way when you play the game, baby, you can never. Don't you wish that you could be a loyal one? A creepy little, sneaky little loyal.
Evidently, if you're a Democrat, it was perfectly acceptable for Joe Biden to have done this. Well, if you're a Republican, this was an utterly corrupt arrangement. And therefore, the rump threatened to withhold American aid if the Ukrainian government did not open an investigation into Hunter Biden's job and into Joe Biden's having the Ukrainian AG fired. Evidently, if you're a Republican, this was a perfectly acceptable thing for the rump to have done. Whilst if you're a Democrat,
and what I say is,
then this was an impeachable offense.
Come a little closer. And what I'm gonna say is, don't you?
And if you happen to think that both sides are utterly corrupt,
don't you wish you were?
And that both Donald Trump and Joe Biden should spend the rest of their lives in prison, then you are a fringe lunatic, and no one cares about what you think. Baseball fans, and I must confess to having been one as a child, might know about the Black Sox scandal during the early 20th century, when 8 out of the 9 players on the losing team were proven to have thrown the crucial World Series game. Now, one of the guilty players was named Shoeless Joe Jackson, who was basically a folk hero to the youth of America of the time. There is a film clip I once saw featuring one of those children approaching Mr. Jackson with tears in his eyes and imploring Mr. Jackson to, quote, "Say it ain't so, Joe." And that became the most famous quote in America at that time. Well, today, we must implore, "Say it ain't so, Mo." Yes, I spend a lot of time trashing leftists on this show because we are supposed to be the frigging good guys. I more or less expect it from the other side, and so I'm not as personally offended by it when they do it. But I am far less tolerant of sketchy behavior when it comes from ostensible allies, because then you tarnish everything else that the rest of us are sweating blood to accomplish. And as part of my criticism, I've been calling out people who use good causes to advance personal agendas. Because if you do that, then I think you totally suck. And I'm going to thunderbolt you anytime I become aware of you.
and I don't give a flying fig what cause you promote or what justifications you use or what color your skin is. Our movement is not a vehicle for your personal aggrandizement. Screw you. And I mention all of this because the frigging Southern Poverty Law Center, of all organizations, has just been rocked by scandal as Morris Deese was just fired for unspecified reasons after being accused of harassing non-white and female staff members. And SPLC leadership is being credibly accused of having attempted to cover it up. Bada boom. The SPLC's rep had already been seriously tarnished over the last few years by several embarrassing lawsuits, wherein the SPLC was ordered to pay out millions to several people that they had falsely defamed as hate mongers. Which happens to be an issue that hits close to home for me right now. For several years now, the SPLC has also been accused of using their activism primarily to bring in donations from organizations that want the SPLC's stamp of approval. Well, I'd say that stamp is worth about doodly squat these days. Good work, guys. So we're going to take a quick station break. The Thunderbolt will be back in just a moment. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of KHUH-FM, nor anyone that has anything to do with KHUH-FM. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. You know, something that I rarely, if ever, hear mentioned by anyone besides me is the fact that Donald Trump was literally a cartoon character in Doonesbury for over 20 years. And I once heard Gary Trudeau say that the Rump was the only public figure that he ever satirized, wherein Mr. Trudeau didn't have to change anything. He simply had the Rump doing things that he actually did and saying things that he actually said, including once saying that if he ever ran for anything, then he would run for president. And Mr. Trudeau said that the Rump is fit perfectly into the Doonesbury reality, as is, with no further embellishment. And as for me, I still cannot wrap my head around the fact that someone with so many profound personality and psychological disorders could become the president. Yes, he's like some megalomaniacal 10-year-old schoolyard bully with nukes and another thing that no one but me ever talks about is the influence that the Rump had over many millions of voters by the mere fact that he had that frigging top-rated TV program. And he was right there in their frigging living rooms every week for years. And I think that the millions of other people, such as myself, who gave minimal thought or concern for Donald Trump or for his frigging TV show before he became president, failed to realize the influence that those frigging TV shows gave to him. And here is yet another reason to be alarmed about the dude's popularity. I have a friend in Seattle that I have known for almost as long as I've known anyone that I still know, even though I don't really like the guy very much. And yet, I call him a friend because we went through a lot together back in the day. And say what you like about this guy, there are few people you would rather have at your back when the shite hits the oscillator. But the guy is also a rather explosive and violent person whose bad side you would probably prefer to avoid. Anyway, I hardly ever see him anymore, and even then only because we occasionally work together twice a year. And this friend has always at least had a healthy attitude towards political figures, in that he has always followed my own policy of always presuming all politicians to be guilty until proven innocent. And to be honest, my friend doesn't really trust much of anyone, much less anyone involved in government. However, the last time I saw my friend, I made some disparaging remark about the rump, to which my friend replied, and I quote, "Donald Trump is going to save this country." I waited for a punchline. I waited in vain. When I realized that he was dead serious, and when I expressed astonishment, he would not shut up about it. Even though I stated within the first minute of his tirade that I had absolutely no desire to debate such a preposterous thing, and that he was never going to convert me to Trumpism in a million years, and to please just stop talking about it. He would not stop talking about it. I literally yelled at him to stop frigging talking about it. And he still wouldn't stop talking about it. He just kept adamantly insisting that I agree with him that Donald Trump was our savior, until it finally reached the point wherein I simply walked away from the guy and avoided him until I left the place. I guess I should be flattered that he cared so much about my opinion on the subject. But at the time, I felt as if I had fallen through some warped looking glass, and I failed to appreciate that aspect of the situation as it was unfolding. And if the rump can inspire such confidence in someone like my friend, then he has a much bigger base than anyone realizes. I have previously expressed fears that Donald Trump has absolutely no intention of stepping down from the presidency, no matter what happens, including discrediting any election that he loses. And I can already hear him crying out, "Fake elections!" And if that push ever does come to a shove, then I am thinking that the rump would be depending upon his little grassroots army of armed, fanatical, Nazi, crazy people to take to the streets to defend him. The title for this week's Thunderbolt is Treason, Civil War, and Coup. And it is called that because those are all words that Donald Trump has used over the last few weeks to describe the recently launched impeachment proceedings against him. And that, kids, represents explosive red meat that he is throwing out to incite his people. My probably now ex-friend will probably be amongst them. And what all of this means is that it is time to get to work. But first, I consider the Pacifica Radio Network to be the most important media outlet currently existing in the entire United States. Pacifica literally invented the public radio model with the opening in Berkeley of KPFA in 1946. And Pacifica has been speaking truth to power ever since. Pacifica, in fact, is directly responsible for the majority of the true reporting that is going on in this country right now. Well, I'm sad to say that Pacifica is in trouble in general, and WBAI in New York is in serious trouble in particular. WBAI, for a while, was streaming shows from other Pacifica stations because they could not pay their bills. The machine has been infiltrating agents into the various boards of directors at Pacifica, and those agents are wreaking havoc. Pacifica's fundraising is suffering for that and for several other reasons, not the least of which is having many of their programs labeled as fake news by Facecrack, by Google, and by various other members of our new social media free speech police. If you would like to help out WBAI, you can go to WBAI.org. Let's move on now. All right. So I have some music for my Seattle listeners, but first, the folks over at Rainier Avenue Radio have asked me to mention that they now have a Rainier Avenue Radio app. You can find download links for the app on their webpage, which is RainierAvenueRadio.world. And they ask that you please download this app because it makes listening really convenient, and this will be a game changer for Rainier Avenue Radio. So for the music, I'm going to go with some old classic political stuff again. This is Utah Phillips.
Dumb.
Enjoy.
I brought my daughter, Morgan Bell. She was 11 years old. Brought her back east during the summer. We traveled around a good bit here and there. And again, it was the sort of thing where she had never traveled with me at all. It was quite different. She's quiet, lighthearted, but she doesn't need to be entertained all the time. She can really take care of herself. I wanted her to particularly meet her godmother, Dorothea Brownell of Saratoga Springs, who she and Harriet, her sister, elegant Victorian women, befriended me many years ago in Saratoga and always gave me a place to stay. They were antiquarians of the first order, antique women of the first order. And it was delightful going to Greenwich, Connecticut. Well, Dorothea was in the country because they had to give up the big house when Harriet died. But looking out the window, seeing Dorothea, who was 83, and Morgan, my daughter, on the bench there, and watched Dorothea start teaching her how to make lace. She's a wonderful artist and makes beautiful lace. Well, Dorothea's in the hospital right now. I'm going to visit her on Wednesday before I go over to Amherst, the Pioneer Valley. A fine, fine teacher. Now, you see, I'm a constant source of embarrassment to my daughter. Why are teenage kids so conservative? I don't do that to them. We don't do that to them, do we? I mean, how, where, what? I act out a lot, see? And I mortify her in public places. And I don't mean to, but she sure gets mad at me. I carry things around with me to kind of rag people. I wouldn't leave home without my cockroach. I always have my roach with me. There's a rubber cockroach. It's a tramp roach. Fry Pan Jack calls that a tramp roach. He gave that to me. He says, you know, if you're poor and you haven't got any money, you're out on the street and you're hungry, you go into a restaurant with this, and you put it in the bottom of a bowl of soup, and then you eat down to it. You say, what's that? And you storm out. You say, I'm not going to pay for that. And you leave. Save you a lot of money. That little jewel will save you a lot of money. Little feeler sticking out the side of a sandwich guy. You say, eat half of it. Say, look at that. I'm leaving. In the hands of an unscrupulous child. Can you imagine what you could do with that in the lunchroom at your school? You could put that in your Jell-O mold. God, you know. And some monitor or teacher is going to come by and say, ah, look at that, what is that? You look at it and say, oh, it's a cockroach. You've got to mess with people day and night. You have to mess with people. You don't mess, you got to mess with them. You know, they just kind of sink into a cryonic torpor and they're never seen again. God, mess with them. I have my dice for people I don't like. Gypsy fortune telling dice. I like everybody. Those people who know me know I try to get along with everybody, you know? But over the summer, I had some fairly serious heart problems, so I decided I couldn't afford to like everybody anymore, you know? I went on a low social cholesterol diet. No more fatheads. And so I run into one of somebody I don't like. I say, I'm going to tell you a fortune. I'll get you gypsy fortune telling dice. And I roll the dice. And they're blank. There's no spots on them. They say, I hate to tell you this, but you don't have any fortune. No future. That's it for you.
I act out a lot. Not to mess with
We were in the Grand Union supermarket getting some food over by Greenwich or Cambridge, one or the other, with old Dorothea Brownell, Oregon's godmother. Now, this is education. The little kid was fussing at the checkout counter, stuck in one of those baskets. It's the lights in those places make kids crazy. We all know that, don't we? Well, and the kid was fussy, and the parents were ragging on the kid. And I know his kids. I've always known his kids. And they get them to laugh, and the parents laugh, and the checkout person laughs, and everybody is feeling marginally better about the whole proposition. So I put on the nose. Morgan started punching me in the side, said, yelling at me, said, why can't you be normal? And old Miss Brownell wrapped Morgan on her shin rudely with her cane and said, he is normal. What you meant to say is average. Education. You've got to mess with people. You've got to mess with people. You've got to mess with people day and night. I headed up the mountains. I was going to take some back roads over to a ghost town called Jerome, Arizona. Well, it's half a ghost town, you know. I had gone up there to find somebody very important to folk music in an odd way, a woman by the name of Katie Lee. You know name Katie Lee? Well, she was a folk singer in the 1950s. You might recall an old record called Songs of Couch and Consultation. Yeah, it was a satirical songs about the psychiatric profession. And she sang and wearing a tight dress for the Playboy clubs. But she sang folk songs. Well, she had retired, disappeared into Jerome, Arizona. And went to work. She was one of the founders of Earth First and wrote a lot of songs, you know, about saving the Colorado River. Powerful woman. Well, I was driving through Prescott, Arizona on my way to Jerome, driving down the street, and I saw a sign there, a street sign that said Gale I. Gardner Avenue. Well, I stopped and I said, I know that man. I had met him 25 years earlier in Montreal, Canada. Saul and I were up there. Terre des Hommes, Smithsonian Festival. And Gale Gardner was invited up to tell poems and songs that he had made up years and years ago as a cowboy. Well, I went to the museum there, the Charlotte Hall, and I said to the woman behind the counter, now, Mr. Gardner wouldn't happen to be alive still. And she said, oh, yeah, he's 95 years old now, but he's in the hospital and ailing. He probably isn't going to come out. So I went over to the hospital and I spent the afternoon with him. Shrunk down in his wheelchair, Well, he had been a small man when he was alive. I knew him as a small man with an enormous white Stetson and a silver-headed cane. There he was, shrunk down in his wheelchair with his great domed head covered with the big liver spots and his glasses one side blanked out so he could barely see through it, and the other lens magnifying an empty socket in a grotesque sort of way. The high desert sun had given him over the years many small cancers on his nose and on his ears that had to be cut away. He was visibly diminishing right before your eyes, but there was still that pillar of youth and energy inside of him trying to burst out in any way that it could still find. I sat on the floor in front of his wheelchair so I could see his face because he couldn't lift his head.
That was called Half of a Ghost Town. Before that, we had Mess with People. Those are both from Utah Phillips, and I believe Ani DiFranco was also involved with that somehow. I'm not sure if she was playing background or she did some production or what. But, yeah, Utah Phillips and Ani DiFranco, what a team. So that's it for the Thunderbolt this week. And I hope you have as much fun listening as I do producing. And I'll see you next week. Until then, peace. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt, nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And please note that the Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes, or you can now go directly to the Thunderbolt WordPress site, which is at dana98501.wordpress.com.
Thank you very much.